Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sheila. So we've been friends for what, nearly 14 years now?
I think about that. Yeah, although we've been really good friends for about half of that, but that's kind of a part of our story, isn't it?
It is. Well, at least for now, we're really good friends in large part because we've learned to be honest with each other. But it's not always perfect. Nevertheless, we're learning a lot by being imperfectly honest and thought you might too.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved.
Hey y'all, Sheila is on vacation today, so we're doing something slightly different. I've invited my friend Jenny Graff to join us. Hey, Jenny.
Hello.
Jenny and I have had many talks on many long hikes about what we're looking for in a partnership. We both happen to be single, and what we want to bring to a partnership. And we had this interesting conversation on our last hike in which we spent a lot of time talking about the things that we're looking for in a partner, but less time talking about what each of us can bring to a partnership. And thought that was kind of a good exercise and thought it might be helpful for us to share our thoughts about each other. Because sometimes I feel like when people share their own thoughts, I get to see the process of how they're thinking, and it often just informs my thinking and provides a little bit of entertainment. Did I miss anything there, Jenny?
No, that was awesome. And I just gotta say, I'm so grateful that you've even just planted this question in my head and brought it to my awareness that I really need to flip the script and kind of like think of myself and whether or not what I'm bringing to the table is going to work for the partner that I'm looking to attract. So it's been a good exercise for me the last couple of days. I'm excited to dive in with you further.
Great. Well, before we dive in much further, I think it would actually be helpful for us to just take a minute to talk a little bit about the kind of partner we're looking for to give this some context. So I put some thought into that for myself, and I'm really very open. I've found that the picture that I had in my head of the man that I was supposed to be with isn't always the attraction that I actually have in real life. So, with that said, there's a couple just parameters that I'm shooting for. So, I'm looking for men between the ages of 40 and 55. I've been splitting my time between Colorado and Bozeman, Montana. And so, it would be ideal to meet somebody in Bozeman or in Colorado, most ideally near Vail. But I'm open to relocating. And I really like to be active and I prioritize health. And that's kind of a deal breaker for me. I don't need to have somebody who likes to do all the physical activities that I like to do or likes to do things in the way that I like to do them, but just somebody who holds that with importance and also understands that I dedicate a significant amount of time to staying healthy and being active and being outdoors. And beyond that, I feel pretty open. How about you, Jenny?
Love that. I'm going to find you somebody who's active, prioritizes their health, and lives somewhere between Montana and Colorado, or is flexible in the Northern Rockies. It's funny because I have been reflecting on this question in our conversation on our last hike. I went for a hike myself and started to realize, gosh, the only thing that I'm really looking for is a sense of safety and security in a relationship. And I think that what that actually, there's a number of things that kind of trickle down from that. So clearly there's some shared values that I need in order for my safety sense to be activated. So certainly some shared values around, playfulness and joy and creating community and welcoming others, into friendships, and kind of having a diversity of relationships in our lives. But honestly, it's like I just realized like all I really want is I just want somebody that I feel safe around and to lie in bed and work on a crossword puzzle or two before we turn off the lights and go to bed. That's really speaking.
I love that. I love that. So, that brings up an interesting question because we talked about things that we might want to change about ourselves or work on to be a better partner. So sometimes security can be found in another person, and sometimes you sort of need to work on things yourself to be able to feel secure. So, does that resonate at all with you? Do you think there's something that you need to work on to allow yourself to feel more secure without a partner or with the right partner?
It's funny. I think that what I realized is I actually like introducing a lot of risk into my own life. I like to introduce a lot of adventure. And so I kind of feel as though I'm constantly challenging myself and, changing careers, changing things up, like just constantly trying to level up myself. So as such, I think that's where I'm really looking for some stability in a partner. And of course, there are ways in which like I should be that rock and that stability for myself, but I guess I just think of it as like, oh, that's it just could be a little bit additive to have kind of that one person that's like a sounding board at the end of the day, if you will.
Cool. Yeah.
What about you?
Well, I feel like I really wanted that for the first chapter of my life, and I actually had that. I felt very secure in my marriage and always felt like my ex-husband had my back and like I knew what to expect from our relationship. And that was really important in the first chapter of my life. But now I actually feel the opposite. I feel like I have a lot of security in my life and I'm looking for somebody who helps me stretch out of my comfort zone. But with that said, there's limits to that because I do still have this strong need to feel like every once in a while I can just come home and know what to expect and that it feels like home. And I'm not exactly sure how to define what home feels like other than I know it when I feel it.
Totally.
but yeah, I think getting somebody to push me out of my comfort zone is ideal. And then also to sort of be fair and answer the same question that I asked you, I am working on my ability to be more flexible. And in particular, I want to be a better traveler. I've always spent so much time stressing about travel plans that I hardly even enjoy the traveling. And I'd like to get better at that and just better at going with the flow in general. So I think having a partner that complements me in that way would be ideal.
I love that. It's so interesting that we're like in two different kind of inflection points or like just seeking such opposite things in where we are in life. So I would be curious to know a little bit more about like the travel side of things. Like, is that something that you feel like you need a partner in order to explore that? Or is that something that you could just kind of work on your own initially? How does that feel to kind of explore just individually?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't particularly enjoy traveling by myself. I used to, and now I feel like I spent a lot of time in the last couple of years being in places where I didn't know anyone, and I'm kind of over that.
I get that.
I like feeling like I'm in some sort of a community or in some sort of a partnership. And so if I have one person to travel with, that feels like enough to have that experience. But traveling by myself just isn't that appealing anymore.
Yeah, I get that. I always think I'm gonna like go on this solo adventure by myself and it's gonna be amazing. And it's generally like day two. You just get this like sense of like, oh, I just this would be better with somebody else. Like there is you know, something beautiful in learning to compromise. It's like, you know, travel really like fast tracks a lot of those compromises and a million different decisions that you have to make like all day, every day. And if inevitably you're gonna get annoyed with one another in prioritizing one another's needs or wants or whatever on those trips. So it's like it's a good little microcosm of a relationship, I feel like.
Definitely, definitely. Well, one of the things that I really admire about you is I perceive you to be a really good traveler, and I perceive you to just sort of be up for all sorts of adventure. Is that an accurate perception?
I got like a cheat code for being a good traveler. Like I was raised with a family of my dad was an airline pilot, so we flew standby my entire childhood. And so for me, like it was always exciting in like just trying to get on a plane. Like there were times that we wouldn't get on an airplane for like 3 days, but in that there's like kind of some dopamine spikes. You're like, well, this is kind of exciting, or adrenaline spikes. It's like kind of exciting. And so as such, as an adult, now that I generally pay for airline tickets and I generally know where I'm gonna go, it's like, gosh, there's like nothing that a trip can throw at me right now that I can't solve. And so I've always seen it as like, you know, just this kind of like little adventure. It's just like a series of little challenges and problems in a way in which you get yourself out of your comfort zone and kind of like switch up your regular routine. So that's been conditioned to me as a child. I think in general, I on the adventure scale, I'm probably higher, you know, scale of 1 to 10, I'm maybe a 7. I don't need to jump on airplanes, but I like to experience new things, I guess I'll put it that way.
Cool.
But I mean, I feel like I have seen you be adventurous and like definitely have an aperture for risk. Maybe it comes in different forms and it comes in kind of like business and in other, you know, other pursuits. But I see you as like a pretty adventurous person as well. Don't see yourself that way?
No, but now that you say that, I think that's actually true. I mean, I've spent most of my career investing in startups, which is extremely adventurous and risky. I sometimes undercut that. I think that I am very adventurous in the types of conversations that I have, is probably as evidenced by this podcast, and I don't need to say anything else about that. I'm more adventurous in thought, I think, than I am in action. I love skiing, and I don't really like skiing with people who love skiing because it's risky. I love skiing because I love being outdoors and I like the workout. I don't like skiing in tight trees or with a lot of people, and I know a lot of people who get a thrill from that, and that increases their experience, and I don't feel that way. So I would say I am adventurous now that you say that. It's just sort of in a different way.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, you're more of a it's more of a mindset in your adventurous. But I mean, very cool that you're looking to expand your level of adventure pursuits over the next I don't know, let's say a couple of years with a potential partner.
Yeah. And you've shared with me that you're interested in finding somebody who is still climbing in their career, and that, you feel like you're still climbing and that your career is really important to you. And so I guess I'm curious how that fits into safety, because from my experience, the times that I've seen people go through the riskiest parts of their relationship are when one of them is pursuing a startup or some sort of a career that isn't a sure thing.
Yeah, that's so true. I think in general, just to layer in like a little bit more context of how I've thought about this, it's like, if somebody's in the sunset of their career and they're looking to slow down, and I'm at a point where I'm excited, I'm feeling really ambitious and super energized in my career. I have this tendency, I will say, to maybe align myself to the speed at which the people that are closest to me are operating. And I just don't want a partner who's going to kind of slow me down right now. And you're right. It's also, I think in the best partnerships, like there's got to be a little bit of give and take. Like one person has got to maybe be grinding, and the other person's got to be kind of that safe ground, where they're not kind of constantly trying to level up, and you're not both running after something that's incredibly stressful, because then at the end of the day, you're kind of ships passing in the night, and there's no such thing as those evenings in bed with a crossword puzzle, because you're both just frazzled at the end of the day. So I think you're totally right, and also like something I totally need to evaluate, like maybe there is a world where like one of us needs to slow down, but I also would love to think of it as like seasons, like serial entrepreneurs. Oftentimes it's like maybe they're winding down one thing, they're going to take a little break, and then their brain is so active that they're going to pursue something else. So I guess maybe a better way of kind of thinking about what I'm looking for in terms of like a equally ambitious career-oriented person, I should frame it more in the perspective of like, I want them to be supportive of me, like one day, and then I want to be supportive of them next day. Like, neither one of us have to be, in the constant hustle for the next 10, 20 years, nor do we need to be kind of at the rate in which we're semi-retired. So, does
Yeah,
that
and you
seem more
shared
manageable?
it does. And you shared a little bit with me before about how you're looking for more of a equal partnership. And the way that I heard you is that you want things to ebb and flow so that, when you're full on needing some support because you're trying to accomplish something, that maybe you can get that support from your partner. And then when they're in that mode, that you really want to be able to give that support, but that it's more of an equal versus you supporting your partner versus them supporting you.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think you've talked about this too. Like, I can be in full hustle mode and full building mode, and I want to find somebody who also has that range and that capability to turn it up, but then dial it back like when it's necessary, and could kind of walk away and has the range and the self-awareness to do so, and range and self-awareness to support me if that's what I'm doing too. So maybe that's a better pursuit.
Yeah. I think one of my better qualities is that I really can be flexible with that. So I am a good partner for people who are pursuing their career in full force because I'm pretty good at entertaining myself. I have a lot of friends, I have a lot of things that provide fulfillment and entertainment for me in my life. And so if they're full board on things and can only hang out a couple times a week, then I can work around that. And I also have a ton of flexibility. So I've never actually been with a partner who is able to, work part-time or not even at all and can travel and things like that. But I feel totally open to that too. I also am pretty interested in the idea of working professionally with my partner. I have become increasingly interested in that as well, but it's not a requirement.
Yeah. I looked at your list of 47 things that you're looking at a partner, but I don't remember seeing any kind of like, I don't know, anything about like their vocation or kind of career pursuits or ambition. Was there something on there that I miss it? Am I forgetting?
I'm not sure because when I put 47 qualities, it's kind of hard to remember all of those. But I feel that I want to be with somebody who's ambitious and passionate about something. If it's ambition and passion for a philanthropic side opportunity, that's fine. If it's ambition and passion for a full-time professional opportunity, that's fine. But just something. The type of profession and level of income and all of that doesn't really matter to me. It's more just that they have that passion and drive.
I totally agree with you there. Like, I just need somebody to have a love or a passion for whatever it is that gives their life meaning. So if it's their career, their job, whatever, but I just need them to find meaning somewhere.
So on our hike, we kind of pitched each other based on an idea of an event that we saw about pitch a friend. So I'd actually be curious to hear your pitch for yourself after we worked on that together, how that's evolved.
You're making me give my own pitch. I was ready to pitch you. It's so much easier. I consider myself a ambitious, playful, and curious person who finds joy in simple things and can just be curious about a lot of different things. So I think of myself as having like a lot of intellectual range. And I feel like I'm a good partner in that I am a yes person. I do have an orientation towards adventurous pursuits. I'm athletic. I like to get out on trails. I like to have new experiences. I am capable of cooking and hosting a dinner party. I do have this tendency to be a bit of a social connector, if you will. So I would be more than happy to organize, somebody's like social calendar or kind of support those efforts in terms of like, just the social life. So I guess that's my pitch. I gotta refine it. I gotta work on that one, but that's
Okay.
it's like, oh, sorry, I got a dog here.
We won't edit that out because I think that's one of your good qualities, is
I
you're
know.
very
Okay, fair enough. I know. So when I get that start talking up, like I what do you mean? You kept me alive. It's true.
Yeah, you're a
I am a
very
good
good
care
dog
good
mom.
caretaker to a dog.
So I'd underscore everything that you'd said. I just find you to be incredibly warm and welcoming. I feel like I could tell you anything. I feel like people open up to you. I feel like it's very easy to be in conversation with you. And you always ask good questions and you have good reflections. And I feel like you bring the best out of me and anybody else we are in contact with. You're a great skier. You forgot to mention that. That's definitely unique for women, especially.
We've
And
never skied together.
I know, but I can tell just by the way, it takes one to know one. I can tell by our conversations that you know your way around the hill. You are attractive and you're very feminine, but also very comfortable in the dirt. Just outside, you know. I think that that's kind of a rare combination.
It's that range, right? Like, and every day, both intellectually and physically, whatever environments we put ourselves into. I think that's a trait of a lot of women in the Rockies. Or hopefully more. Well, thank you. I'm also getting better at taking compliments, and that feels really good to hear you say those things. So thank you.
So I guess I would love to ask you to pitch me, but that's not really fair. So I'll give my best shot for pitching myself.
Yes, and then I get to fill in the gaps. That's I like this role.
So I think that I'm an insatiably curious person who loves to ask questions, and my questions often cause people to think about things that they would never have thought of, and they're questions that they don't get from anybody else. I often hear from people that the questions I ask or that the conversations that we have are pivotal moments in people's lives where they completely change careers or leave a relationship or start a relationship. And people genuinely just sort of want to open up to me. I actually think we share that quality, Jenny. I am equally comfortable on the hiking trail or on a chairlift. And in the boardroom, I feel like I'm a good partner at cocktail parties, and I'm also a good partner outdoors. I am really open and accepting, and I'm often told that people can tell me anything without feeling judgment. I think I've done a lot of work in that regard, and that I feel like I can actually be with a partner and accept them for exactly who they are rather than wanting to change them. I think I'm conventionally attractive. At least that's what I'm told. I'm also a pretty good skier, very good skier.
Yes.
And have a lot of flexibility. I'm really able to just sort of support my partner when and where they need it. And for most of my life, I felt like I needed to be more of a leader in my relationship, or at least a 50% leader in my relationship. And I actually don't feel that way anymore. I genuinely enjoy supporting and helping, and like making people's lives easier.
Yeah. I loved what you said on our hike, and I felt like that was obviously because I've never been in partnership with you, something that I would have called out, but like something that once you said it made it just became so obvious to me. And you just said something like, I feel like I'm a great partner to somebody because I like to be supportive. Does that like, is that something that you like you still honor or you still appreciate, or that's not in your 10 best attributes in your short pitch?
No, I think that's right.
Yeah. I think that's a great pitch. I think in general, I would definitely second and like give you a little plus on the fact that you're a great skier and you are very conventionally attractive. I also feel like I trust your feedback almost unconditionally. Like you are capable of giving honest feedback with candor, but not in a way that like destroys my dreams. Like I've pitched business ideas to you and you've sat with them. It's like there's not this like reflection of judgment or like, you don't jump into, here's what I would do. X, Y, and Z, like there's genuine curiosity and genuine like ability to discern between, what might work about that component of a business plan or whatever crazy idea I've got, and the ability to recognize like the granules that are really positive. So I think that's an amazing attribute. And then the other thing that I would add is that you are so generous in giving credit and compliments to people and celebrating others for their positive attributes. And to the extent that, like, when you called me that one day and you said that, like, there was one component of, like, something that I had shared with you that was repeated in a nonprofit meeting that you were holding, like, it just made me feel so good all day. And I just think, like, to have that in a partner where somebody's like, look, I wanted to call out that I took your advice and I repeated it, and this is what's coming from that. Like, that's that just, like, is such a special thing. And I don't think we do that enough for one another. So those are the things that I would add.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
So, what makes it challenging to be in a partnership with you?
You know, I think in general, I have cultivated a robust friend group over the last like 3, 4 years since I've been single. And, you know, I've got a lot of friends from all over the country, and I try to make time for those friends, and I'm really trying to prioritize community. Largely because I was like, I don't know if partnerships are gonna work for me. I'm in my 40s, they haven't worked yet. So I'm gonna diversify my relationships here. And I think in general, my orientation and how I show up for friends and prioritize friends is somewhat challenging for men in this day and age. I think they generally want more of my time, and they want to feel like they're a little bit more prioritized. And at this state of my life, I really haven't been particularly willing or able to prioritize a partnership in my life. That's it. What about you?
For me, I'm not a night owl. I've gotten more flexible about when I go to bed and wake up and things, but my natural bedtime is about 8 o'clock. I can comfortably make it to about 10, so that's not for everyone. But with that said, I'm often up and have coffee made and all that before my partner even wakes up. So there's that benefit. And I can sometimes be a little too focused. So when I am in the middle of something and my partner comes in and has a question or something, it can be hard for me to redirect sometimes, but I also think I've gotten better with that. I think there were a lot of things that were challenging about being in partnership with me, but I've spent a lot of time working on those, and I can honestly say that I'm a pretty good partner right now.
That's awesome. Good for you. So when you say 8 o'clock, are you like in bed, PJs on, like trying to go to sleep, or are you like winding down?
I mean, this all depends, but yeah, it's when I'm by myself for whatever reason, it is not unusual for me to be asleep by 7:45.
That's awesome.
But I rarely do that when I'm in partnership with somebody and staying with them. It's more like, between 9 and 10, more reasonable. But I'm not really a drinker. That's actually another thing that can be challenging. I'm not against drinking. I have no issue with my partner drinking. I don't really want to be with an alcoholic, but I have no issue with them drinking. But I just don't myself. I've had some health issues and it doesn't help any of those. So yeah, that's important to some people, and I don't fit that bill.
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, the way that we were talking about it is like, you're just not really like you going out to a bar or going to a show that starts at like 9 or 10. Like, that's not going to be on your list of things that you want to
Right, I'll do it,
do. Yeah.
but it's not going to be my go-to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, would you be willing to, like, I don't know, let's say that is your partner's thing and they love live music, for example. Would you be willing to do it like a couple times a summer?
Oh,
Maybe.
yeah. Yeah,
Okay.
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. See, that's enough.
Yeah. For some people like to do live music twice a week. I'm probably not a good fit for them.
Totally.
Unless it's a lunchtime barbecue kind of thing.
I get
Yeah.
it.
Well, any other thoughts you want to share about why it's amazing to be in a partnership with you, Jenny?
No, I mean, honestly, it's like, I guess when I was thinking about it, and we did kind of talk about this, but it's like, I think when I was first like single in my 40s again, or found myself single in my 40s, I was like trying to define so much of like what I wanted, and I'm trying to let that go, you know, both in characteristics of a partner, but also in characteristics of a relationship too. It's like I'm just trying to like dissolve some of those desires, or like not be so kind of like defined by them. And so in that sense, I think that maybe that's another like benefit, is like I really am trying to be fluid, more flexible, more open to like what the ideal partnership looks like. And you know, it is kind of like I'll know it when I see it, but you know, I think that's the beauty of like being in our 40s, is like we're finally at this time where like we've defined and controlled things like for long enough, and it's served us quite well. But I'm also ready to start pruning back a few of those things and not taking myself so seriously. So.
Yeah, and I think also on the flip side of that, you're totally capable of not being in a partnership. I think, it's nice to be with people who see partnerships as icing on the cake rather than someone who's totally reliant on a relationship. And I definitely think you fall into that category.
Yeah, I would say that. Yes, I would agree. So therefore, it's like when you've got somebody that like is very capable of being alone, there is, you know, always that work that's required, right? There's just a little bit more constant maintenance that you need to put into things in order for it to work, recognizing like we've got a pretty good life on our own. I don't necessarily need this. So
Yeah,
I
well,
haven't figured that out, but we'll get there. That day, that problem, my friend says.
and before we close out, you also happen to be looking for a job at the moment. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you're looking for in that?
Oh gosh. sure. It's just like a job. It's like a personal advertisement for me and all the things I'm
Exactly.
thinking
I love
about.
it.
I love it. Thanks for the opportunity. You know, I am looking back at my career and at kind of an inflection point, recognizing that I've got 20 years of experience in sales and marketing across a myriad of different industries. I've worked everywhere from tourism to fine art to healthcare, and then most recently, I was working with startups, and so very rapidly you know, trying to help them identify potential growth opportunities and sectors or ways in which they could move really quickly, and kind of prove their models. So that's the context for my background. In terms of what I'm looking for, I am really just looking to probably fractionally join a hopefully a high growth kind of tech-enabled company, ideally working for the public good. I like tech for good. So that to me and my definition looks like, you know, kind of sustainability technology. I love the loneliness economy work. Energy is kind of fascinating to me. So joining one of those firms fractionally in some sort of revenue function, so helping build out the growth operations for a firm is what I'm likely looking for in this next iteration. But I don't know. I'm also curious and open to opportunities, so not trying to be entirely too prescriptive there either.
Great. Well, I can say that I've gotten to know you pretty well as a friend, but I've also had the opportunity to see you in action professionally. And I've had the opportunity to see you do some public speaking. And I would say that you're the kind of person who it doesn't really matter what you're up to. I'm going to be curious what you're up to, and I'm going to want to follow you and be a part of what you're building. And I feel like any company would be really lucky to have somebody who could be a megaphone like you and who could just be this natural magnet to what they're working on. And I think you also have the ability to sort of plug in where you're needed, which is a really good fit for startups or fast-growing tech companies, because I think that you're a natural sort of business development slash sales slash public image heightener. But you're also not above just jumping in and getting a detail done when it needs to be done. And I think that that's really important when companies are growing fast to have somebody like you at the helm with them.
Thank you. I'm constantly so appreciative that you are in my life and that I somehow have been lucky enough to bring you into my life, who has been, not only this incredible professional sounding board, but also just a really amazing confidant and friend. And it's been just such a cool year with you in it, Elizabeth. So thank you for this opportunity to chat a little bit about like what we're manifesting in our lives, I guess, and how we're going to change and how we need to recognize like whether or not we're ready for this partnership. So it's been
Well, lovely. And yeah, mutual admiration. We'll stop now before we go overboard with our admiration. But thanks again for the time. And listeners, until next time. Bye.
Bye.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. Note that, notwithstanding that any of the guests on this podcast may be licensed professionals, no one on this podcast is providing or seeking to provide the listeners of this podcast with any medical or health services. You should not rely on the information or content presented during this podcast, and you should not make any health or medical related decision based in whole or in part on such information. Consult a healthcare professional licensed in your state for all matters relating to your health, and do not disregard any medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment provided by your healthcare professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests, and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved.